Normally at a wake, and especially at a funeral mass like this, we offer condolences to the close relatives, to the spouse, the children, maybe the brothers and sisters. And as we know, under the current quarantine rules, only close relatives are allowed to attend wakes. That's what we were told. It's part of the effort to prevent large gatherings of people during the pandemic. Well, in the case of Sister Barbara, she has no relatives here in the Philippines. And certainly none who could come here to be with us today. She does have a sister in the States. She's 83 years old. She has a brother in the States who's 81 years old. And she loved them very much. In fact, if they're joining us online, and if any of her nieces and nephews are joining us online, we extend to you our sincere condolences. However, when we talk about Sister Barbara and the family of Sister Barbara, we have to think in terms of her spiritual family, which includes literally hundreds of people. She served as the spiritual mother of all of us and of many more in some ways. So I want to express gratitude to the Homeowners Association and to the barangay for allowing us to expand her wake and expand the funeral to welcome many, many people who have come to pay their respects. Many people came on Thursday and on Friday, and now we're maximizing this space we have here to pay our respects to Sister Barbara, and we're all her children. In speaking to the many people who were here over these past few days, and in reading the many messages that we have received, email and texting, I get a better sense of the enormous impact that Sister Barbara had on people's lives. She often said that when she was a young woman, she was convinced that she was called to be married, she wanted to be married, and she wanted to have 20 children. Maybe she told the young mothers this, because she always wanted to have 20 children. Of course, God called her to consecrate herself to Him, and so she didn't bear any children physically, but she has had many, many more spiritual children, more than 20. In fact, none of us would be here, and this building wouldn't be here, and our community wouldn't be here if it were not for Sister Barbara and her spiritual motherhood. Sister very strongly resisted the title that we often have used to describe her in Anuim, the co-founder. She did not want herself to be known as the co-founder. She said she didn't found anything. Father Francis is the one who was given the spirituality, and he is certainly the founder. But Sister Barbara could not deny that she was given a special gift, a charism, for putting flesh on his word. That's the message she received in her spirit, and that's what she dedicated her life to from 1975 up until now. She dedicated herself to the establishment of the building of this community dedicated to pondering the Word of God in the liturgy, dedicated to pondering the Word in the heart of Mother Church, dedicated to being formed in the Church's liturgical life. So that's has been her mission, and she did a very good job of it. But at a funeral mass, and the church often tells us this, we're not supposed to focus on the person who died. We're supposed to focus on Jesus Christ, who has saved all of us from sin and death. So we're here to worship the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord Jesus, and to apply the infinite power of Jesus' sacrifice to our sister who has died. After all, in the face of our creation, redemption, and sanctification, who are we? we are insignificant. And Sister Barbara would certainly affirm that. In fact, in light of this, I would like to share one of Sister Barbara's favorite passages from the Bible. It comes from Psalm 62, which comes up in the Psalms of Evening Prayer. If anyone prays evening prayer, you might recognize this verse. And if you look in her office book, that this passage is all marked up with pens and pencils. She loved this verse. It goes this way. Common folk are only a breath. Great men, an illusion. Placed in the scales, they rise. They weigh less than a breath. Common folk are only a breath. Great men, an illusion. Placed in the scales, they rise. They weigh less than a breath. I think Sister took this as a reminder to her that we do not have to be impressed with worldly greatness. We all weigh less than a breath. And I think it was also a way for her to shake off people's opinions of her, too, because many people thought of her as a very great woman. And many people were very strongly opposed to her. So she provoked lots of strong reactions. And by reading this passage, she said that all that is nothing. All those things, they put them on the scale, they don't weigh anything. What matters is to hear the word of God and put it into practice. Well, we know Sister Barbara had a very strong and gifted human personality. She had what she would call great ego strength, great confidence, great decisiveness, as well as deep compassion, especially for those who are suffering. She had such a big personality that in the early days of Anouilh, Father Francis was at times caught asking the question, where is everybody? When in fact, Sister Barbara was the only one absent from the group. So where is everybody? In fact, meant where is Sister Barbara? Because her presence was so big and her absence was so noticeable. And that absence is the painful part of what we experience now, her sudden absence. Sister could read people very quickly, and she could read situations very quickly, almost without thinking about it. She had a very highly intuitive mind, and usually she was right. This natural gift, combined with her strong faith, made her a very gifted spiritual guide. I would say she had the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is known as the gift of counsel. The gift of counsel, which is supernatural prudence. It's the gift by which a person judges promptly and rightly what must be done, especially in difficult circumstances, by applying spiritual principles to practical circumstances and situations. And hundreds of people came to Sister Barbara for this kind of help. That's why she had such a big impact on people's lives, on our lives, on my life. Very often her counsel was a turning point in people's lives. Maybe many of you, maybe almost all of you could share this personally. What she said or what she explained or how she challenged could be a turning point, a great help in time of crisis, great light in time of darkness, great consolation in times of grief. And it's in this sense that she exercised her spiritual motherhood for us all. After all, she loved people. She really loved people. She loved being with people. She loved getting to know people. She loved questioning people. She loved reading people. She loved helping people, certainly. And one of the reasons that she was able to help people was that she would recall lessons from her own life, her own course of life, lessons that she learned. And so she would tell personal stories and apply the lesson that she learned to the experience of whoever was listening to her. And each stage of her life was very important to her. She grew up in Brooklyn, her childhood, which she loved very much, the lessons she learned from the Lord and from her parents and from her experience of living in the neighborhood. And then there was that life-changing trip to California, which she took as a young woman. She lived in California for about 3 years, where she eventually discovered her call to the interior life and to celibacy. After California, she moved back and looked for a religious community. She ended up joining the Blessed Sacrament Sisters in 1960, I think it was. And she made her final profession in 1966 with the Blessed Sacrament Sisters. In 1967, they sent her to the Philippines. And she was here in the Philippines from 1967 up to 1974. She would say that in the Philippines, she was raised up and then cast down. She felt that she was sent away from the Philippines in humiliation, rejection. But that suffering bore fruit in her spiritual search for what God was asking of her. That brings us to the year 1975. Key year for her and for the community. In that year, 1975, the Lord gave her interiorly some very striking and strange messages. For example, on September 8, 1975, birthday of Mary, she heard Mary say to her heart, "What will begin December 8." It was a clear message. She had no idea what it meant. What will begin December 8th. She had not met Father Francis. She knew nothing about him. She had no idea that God would call her out of the convent. It was just an interior message with no clear meaning. But she knew she had to do something on December 8th. Well, she met Father Francis, I think, in November. I'm not sure of the details. I think in November, maybe it was October, discovered that he had something to offer. She didn't know what it was at first. She discovered it was a spirituality. And then in December, Father Francis and Sister Barbara, together with Sister Carol, began what we now call the Anawin community. So the Anawin community started with three mustard seed built on the gift given to Father Francis and the gift given to Sister Barbara. Now, I'd like to note the importance of the final stage of Sister Barbara's journey. She has been teaching us right up to the very end. And I think many people have a sense of this, even if they couldn't come visit her in her illness. Of course, before her stroke, she was very active. She was dynamic. She had boundless energy for people. Now, she came back to the Philippines in 1991 and eventually decided to stay here most of the time, especially after Father Francis died. She's been here almost full time. And she realized that her role as co-director would eventually have to come to an end. So we restructured the community and Sister Barbara resigned as the co-director and she took on the mission of serving the poor. She was always devoted to the poor anyway, but she became quite dedicated to listening, to discerning, to helping people's physical needs, and especially guiding them in their spiritual life. So she worked hard to pass on the treasures of the spiritual life that she had received. Until March 7, 2019, when she was suddenly silenced. She was suddenly stopped by a major stroke. And ever since then, about almost 2.5 years, she has been unable to walk and unable to talk. She became quite against her natural inclinations. If you ever heard her before the stroke, she would say, "I hope I'm never bedridden." I hope I never lose my ability to communicate. That's exactly what happened to her. So quite against her human will, she became completely dependent. She became poor. She became unaware. The Lord gave her a severe but always merciful time of deep purification and transformation. She needed 24-hour care. She was dependent like a little child. And she spent hours and hours looking at the crucifix in her room. If anyone ever visited her there, sometimes she wouldn't, it was a very mysterious condition, didn't know what she was thinking because she couldn't talk and you could only try to read her face. Almost 2.5 years. By the way, at this point, I really want to say a word of thanks to her caregivers. Is Teresita here? Teresita? How about Mary Conn? There's Teresita. Where's Mary Conn? Okay, two sisters who dedicated themselves very beautifully to compassionate and quality care for Sister Barbara. And sometimes Sister Barbara got very angry with them, but that's natural when you're being pushed and shoved and picked up and dropped and put into a chair. And they brought her to Mass every day, they washed her every day, they fed her every day, gave her her medicines every day. And she is certainly grateful, and we are all grateful to you. Special word of thanks also to Evelyn. Where's Evelyn? She has to be here. Evelyn, yeah, we thank you also. She oversaw Sister Barbara's care. And thanks to Sister Carol, who every single day prayed the rosary with her, every single day prayed the chaplet of Divine Mercy with her, visited her every day, accompanied her in this two-year trial. Well, and then to make things worse for Sister Barbara, who loved people, who loved being with people, along came the pandemic. And she was cut off even from the presence of people, cut off from the young mothers, cut off from the families, from the children, from the community. It was a very hard process, but Sister Barbara persevered. She persevered. She, with the help of her caregivers and the prayer of the community, she continued to grow interiorly. Her call was always to the interior life and to friendship with Jesus, and this is what these last 2 years have been for her. Profound interior life, friendship with Jesus. And now Jesus has called her home to her eternal reward. Sister Barbara has left us countless lessons, some very personal, some spiritual principles. How many people did she teach the prayer, "Bless her, change me"? She taught that prayer to hundreds of people. Bless her, change me. Whenever we're in a struggle with someone, to pray for the person and for the change of our own hearts. One of her insights that she shared with many. But for now, I want to conclude. I'm sure she will continue to accompany us and intercede for us, but I want to conclude with a mention of another one of her favorite scripture passages. This is, did we put it on the front here? No, in some of the things we printed in her honor, we use this statement of St. Elizabeth to Mary at the Visitation. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled. That was one of Sister Barbara's favorites. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled. It's a call to faith, a call to confidence in the Word of God. Sister Barbara believed in the Lord's words to her, and the Lord has fulfilled his promises. Sister Barbara, I think, wants us to believe in the Lord's words to us, knowing that he will fulfill his promises. And in this day of sadness and also gratitude and joy, we entrust Sister's beautiful soul into his loving hands. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for his church, confident that God hears the voices of those who trust in the Lord Jesus. We join our prayers to his.
Let the Builder Church be inspired.